Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Born Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the hell are you doing? What's going on?
The hell I am doing is good, thank you very much. Yes, having a good day, having a good time, just getting back to the swing of things. I'm having a good time. Next week I'm still here, and then the week after I'm off to... I'm off to America for another week.
Chris, again?
I'm really sorry, mate. I'm really sorry. I got a bugger off again. It's a nightmare, isn't it? I'm going to Seattle. And then I'm going to drive down the coast using my new found driving skills. And going to have a lovely time. Looking forward to it. Hello, Seattle.
Pete is working on
his
new podcast.
Want to buy loads of Kurt Cobain clothes.
The Abroad America podcast with Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, exactly.
You go and see Trash Taste on tour. They're touring America, aren't they, for a whole month?
Yes,
you go and,
that's right.
Just
yes.
Go and watch them. Yeah, they're in Seattle, I think, one day, maybe. Seattle's maybe. Nice. There was a time when I thought about moving to Seattle. It's one of the few places in America I've been, and it's pretty nice, livable place. I remember going
to
Pike Fish Market.
Fish Market.
Go up the space. Is it the Space Needle? Go up
Space
that.
Space Needle, yeah.
Go up that.
Is that all it's you cool. got, really? The Space Needle.
That's it,
the most famous part.
I remember the main thing. I got on the monorail. There's like a cool 1960s, 50s monorail. It was like one of the first in the world that nobody knows about outside of Seattle. And I had a pizza that was named after one of my favourite actors, John Candy. I don't know why it was, but it was. And it was great. Do you know John Candy?
I don't know who John Candy is.
Legend. Very shame he died.
Long. It should have very much should have lived a longer life. And one of my favourite Christmas films is Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
Yes.
And it's just very, very easy watching that.
Very technically, fun. It's not a Christmas movie. It's a Thanksgiving movie. But I'll let you go. I'll let it off. I'll let you off.
Shut up. Get out of it.
I think that's probably my favourite comedy film of all time. I used to watch it every year without fail. It's so good. It's that rare thing, isn't it, with a comedy that's got quite a moving story at the core of it, and it'll make you maybe tear up as well, particularly at the end. There's a nice little twist that takes you off guard, and it's quite sad. But it's so
Bloody
funny, everything.
That.
It's sad. I love the bit with Rosie O'Donnell at the airport as well. That's what I imagine it'll be like with you at Seattle Airport, not getting the car you want. Great film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Truck.
That's a cracking film. but I don't remember why the pizza was named after him. It was pepperoni pizza, margarita, John Candy, Hawaiian. And I was like, I like John Candy. He's one of my favourite actors. That's dead. I'll have that one. And it was a good pizza. So go to Seattle, have a John Candy pizza, go up the Space Needle, look at Pike Fish Market, and then you're done. You've done the big three of Seattle. I should write a tour guide for Seattle. But speaking of nothing to do with anything I've just said, I did the most difficult race in Japan, Pete, and I'm alive, and I succeeded. Woohoo, go me.
You ran and ran, oh, I ran so far away, I couldn't get away. Probably get a copyright strike for that because that was so fucking accurate.
It's like a flock of seagulls were in the room with us. Yeah, I ran the Spartan Race. It's called Spartan Race. It involves a 1,100-meter rapid ascent up a mountain, which was the hardest part, and then 20 obstacles over 6 kilometers in 32 degrees Celsius conditions. And I don't know how I did it. I sprained my left arm in the process, but somehow I managed to come out relatively unscathed, even though my left arm is now fucked. But
This is annoying me, this newfound fitness stuff, that you're going from an absolute absolute slovenly mess to running fucking Spartan races. This annoys me because I'd die just walking down the, running down the street. It's so annoying because people like in my life that who are concerned about their health but don't really run around anywhere. They're my only kind of like, well, at least they're not running around. Now everyone's running around. What am I going to do, Chris?
Oh,
and they're being quite good at it. It's annoying.
Here's the thing, though. This is the cool thing. Like 3-4 months ago, June. Got a really bad health report. I was overweight, bloated, lethargic, tired. Rubbish by all accounts. Especially after I came back from the UK, I think I put on 4 kilograms. I was 88 kilograms or something. Now I'm about 84. So I've lost 4. But I at the time when I came back from the UK in late June, I would not have been able to run a Spartan race. I would not have been able to cycle 700 kilometers across Hokkaido. But in just sort of 2.5 months of training every day, being a little bit more sensible with what I eat, aka not eating a pile of fried chicken every day, but just going to the gym like 3-4 days a week or just working out, that really turned it around. And it's really, it doesn't take long to reap the rewards of getting fit. I'd say you've got to stick through, you know, the first month or two. It's hard to see any results, and then all of a sudden one day you wake up and you'll notice some changes. Like, it takes like a sort of 2-month delay.
Who's the fellow of Black Flag?
Assassin's Creed?
No, the band Black Flag, the second singer of Black Flag. Anyway, he does inspirational speeches and does like spoken word tours and stuff. Henry Rollins, there we go.
Not Assassin's Creed.
He said, work out for 2 months and just don't look in the mirror, you'll just be so surprised how much things have changed. But obviously, you're not going to notice it, you know, in a week or two.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if I look back at, I haven't noticed it, but then I look back at some photos of the video I did with Connor and Joey in the UK. Right, I look like a fucking beach ball in the photos and videos there, and now I can actually kind of see. Oh, I've got a chin. I remember what that's like, and it's exciting to have a face again that's not like a beach ball. So
right.
Keep at it. Keep going. I've got a long way to go. I set the goal at the end of this year of being the fittest I've ever been. In my life, and while I'm not there yet, I'd say I was still fitter at the end of Journey Across Japan 1, and I was still fitter when I did the weight loss challenge years ago before that, 2015. I reckon I could probably hit it by the end of November, and in fact I've got a bet with Connor where I've got to try and get a six pack by November 28th. Whoever loses has got to donate $500 to charity, so the stakes are high for this one. But also I just want to just prove Connor wrong. And also American Pete, he was like, no dude, you can't do it, meh, every time I say, oh, I'm gonna do this, Pete, he's like, you can't do that, meh. I don't know why, he's just very pessimistic, god bless him. So I've got to wipe the smile off their faces, I've got to prove them wrong, I've got to get my six pack. I don't know if I'm gonna do that, but to get around it, I've been doing 100 sit-ups a day. I need to ramp that up to 200, and I need to just like go mental on the treadmill. In fact, straight after this, I'm going to go out for a jog for an hour and take a step close to that happening. But yeah, it's pretty cool though. It's just cool getting fit. I recommend
it. Getting fit. God, you've changed so much. I'm upset. I'm very, very resentful of this.
I'll be eating lettuce and never eating meat again. But, you know, while you're off in America eating your Philadelphia cheesesteaks and buying the corpses of coyotes, I'm getting fit. And it could be the same for you, Pete.
Didn't eat those bones, though. That's the main thing. I will say for the record that I did. I'm not one that fluctuates massively week to week, but any weight that I'd lost over the past couple of months eating carrots went straight back on in 1 week. 1 week in America, me drinking pretty much every day and eating what can be funnel cake. That's an interesting vibe. I think they just literally just dribble off funnel in this case, sort of piped batter straight into the oil, and it's not good. It's not good. There's a similar Indian dessert that's kind of bright red, which is 10 times better, and it's filled with honey. I don't know how they do that, but it's fucking amazing. But funnel cake, less of a vibe. But great with a cup of tea. Has to be said.
That sounds appalling. Bloody hell! Why don't you cycle from Seattle to wherever you're going in South California?
Because I just don't want to, and one of my friends
cycle
is about 18 stone.
Fair enough, though. But, yeah. Well, hopefully by the time we catch up over Christmas, you'll see a whole new me. You'll be like, wow, look at that six-pack, yeah.
Wow, look at that six-pack, wow.
Dear, oh dear. But the video with the Spartan race will be coming out, guys, in early to mid-October. After the cycle video and after Journey Across Japan, Escape to Paradise, Episode 3, which is coming out this weekend. It might even be out now. Probably isn't, as you listen to this. It's such a long, bloody video. It's so difficult to edit. There's so many moving parts. It's more difficult than running a Spartan race, but it's going to be a good one. We got a story this week from Ayana, though, from Melbourne, Australia. Hi, Party Boy Chris and Candyman Chris. It used to take me 2 hours each way to get to my high school in Japan, which involved getting up every day at 5:30 a.m. and being constantly sleep-deprived as a teenager. I'd often catch up on my sleep on the long train journey, which occasionally resulted in missing my stopover and being late for school or accidentally sleeping on a stranger's shoulder. but that wasn't nearly as embarrassing as the time I fell asleep standing up. Good God, I've wondered if that's possible. I had the wall of the carriage to my left that I was able to lean on, so I thought, brilliant, I can still manage to get a quick nap standing up. I underestimated my ability to sleep deeply while standing, because at one point I was so unconscious that the muscles in my legs started to relax, causing my knees to buckle, and this unbelievably resulted in my knees pushing into the back of the knees of a small adult man standing in front of me, causing him to awake from his vertical slumber. I apologised profusely, but was forced to awkwardly remain right behind him, as the morning rush on the train allowed no space for me to walk away, and I cringed privately. In conclusion, that sleep pod sounds perfect for someone like me. I wonder what the result would be if you took a poll to get a sense of how many Japanese people have a cringy sleep story. Thanks for all the laugh on the podcast. Ayana from Melbourne, Australia. I'm kind of confused what happened there. So they fell asleep while I was standing up and banged into another man that was asleep.
just the idea that your sort of muscles just suddenly... Yeah, I've never sort of slept upright, where you, but your legs just sort of go, well, it's time to go to sleep, is it? And you're like, oh, God.
Sound like a recipe for disaster. Bloody hell.
I mean, Everyone could just sleep upright in Japan, it seems.
It's not uncommon, though, for people like just to fall asleep on your shoulder on a train. You know, yeah. I've had it happen about 3 or 4 times whilst riding the Emanate line around Tokyo. There's always someone who just nods off and they bang into your shoulder, and sometimes they stay there. There's a really famous sketch. What was the name of the guy? Is it Kimura Ken? I can't remember. The really famous comedian who died a few years ago, where he's on a train and there's a really like a attractive Japanese woman on his left, and she keeps nodding off onto his shoulder, and he's like, ooh, yes, and he's like really happy. And then there's this huge slob of a man on his right, and he also keeps falling asleep, and he keeps like knocking him out and like throwing him off really angrily while embracing the woman. Bit of a dodgy sketch, but yeah, you get the idea. It will happen to you if you ride around on a train in Tokyo. Get ready for people to fall asleep on your body. Go with it. Take a selfie.
On your
on
body.
It's going to be great. What's going on in Japan this week on the news front, though? Pete, hit us with what you got.
Chris from Japan, news in. They've only got robots to fucking laugh, mate.
Oh, God.
You know, like, what? We watch these kind of videos of, like, a weird robot or certainly remote control. Dogs running around. You've got the eyeball situation in Japan. So, you know, Japan's always seen as one of those places where all of the amazing robotic and kind of humanoid stuff happens. Well, scientists have basically sort of stated, for the record, that the most important thing when it comes to sort of artificial intelligence systems is basically recreating the nuances of humour. It's the most difficult thing to get right in the world because robots are robots and humans are humans. But it basically laughing in the right way at the right time, basically a team behind a laughing robot has created this thing that can laugh at the right in the right way at the right time. It could help to improve natural conversations between people and AI systems. So in the future, we could have AI systems that know when to laugh, how to laugh. And I, for one, would love a little person in my life that I could just sort of tell a little joke to, a little dad joke, and them laugh heartily at the right time. It would be fantastic.
At last, people will laugh at Pete Donaldson's jokes.
Because, like, conversational kind of battle, I would say, the most important thing is empathy, and that's how you build relationships, and that's how you become warmer as a human being, I think it's fair to say. But Dr. Koji Inui of Kyoto University published in a paper called Robotics and AI, we decided that one way that robots can empathise with users is to share their laughter. They've basically gathered training data from more than 80 speed dating dialogues between male university students and the robot, which was initially basically controlled by four female amateur actors. It might feel socially awkward to mimic a small chuckle, but empathetic to join in with a hearty laugh. And basically, the algorithm learned all the basic characteristics of social laughs, and they basically tried to mirror all of these kind of little giggles and little ticks in appropriate situations. And it makes the AI sort of voice, the AI character that they're trying to create, so much more humanoid, or human rather.
I mean, I've got a fascination with robotics. I was in Robot Wars as a kid. Of course I have a fascination with robotics. Even though the robots in Robot Wars, let's call them out for what they were, remote control cars with pickaxes and various tacky weapons on, far from the cool androids.
Correct.
That I want to see. And especially as someone who loves Blade Runner. I'm waiting for androids to come along. And yet, like, I thought Japan would sort of lead the world in robotics. It kind of does, but I feel it's been leapfrogged in recent years.
Leapfrog.
The most famous Japanese robotic, like, android dude is Hiroshi Ishiguro. And you always see his crazy, wacky creations around and about. Mm. Like, I think Erika, he's this girl called Erika who looks kind of eerily like a Japanese woman. He's kind of nailed it down and made it look almost identical to a Japanese woman, but I don't know. I feel like there are better robots out there. I don't know if you saw recently, there's a British robot called Amika. Have you ever seen this? Amika?
I saw it
all over the news, and I saw Tom Scott went there as well and had a look around, but it's got a really eerie face that looks like someone's just put on loads of grey paint and made their face grey. But it's like it absolutely looks like a human's face, and it creeps me the hell out. But yeah, Japan, they've got all these great androids, and they've done all these things over the years, and they've just sort of walked away from it. Like, I remember Asimo. I went on a rant about that earlier this year, because Asimo, the most advanced robot ever made, especially back in 2000 when it came out, when it was released, it was so far ahead. It could move and walk and climb stairs. It could open bottles. It could kick a football better than I could ever dream. And then they retired it, and it did nothing except walk around the Tokyo Future Museum. It just feels like a shame. I don't know why they're building all these androids, because it just feels like they're not doing anything with them. There's no sort of practical application, if you know what I mean. I mean, even with Boston Dynamics, I haven't really seen how they've put their robots to good use. Although I know they've been selling a bit better, and they've been actually using them a bit more effectively. But what do you think? Where's my robot?
Yeah, but
where's my pet robot?
With respect, Chris, you don't even want to hand over your video editing to a video editor. I don't think you'd get along with a robot, to be honest. You wouldn't trust them.
How dare you? I thought it's just depressing. Like in the 1980s, it'd be like, by the year 2022, mankind will all have robots walking around the homes and doing their kitchen. And like, it'd be fucking amazing if I could be like, make me a sandwich, and then it's like, okay, Chris, I'll make you a sandwich, and it'll like walk off to the kitchen. Right now, I've got Sharla, and that's good. But a robot would be better. It would make me feel less guilty whenever I demand sandwiches, wouldn't it? But we're still a long way off, and I even at this laughing robot, it called Erica. I'm not convinced. It just looks a bit unnatural and far from having any degree of empathy. It just makes me really scared because it's still in that uncanny valley sort of place, right? But yeah, if you want to see a really impressive robot, look up Amica, A-M-E-C-A, sorry, and be prepared to be blown away by the most lifelike robot you'll ever see. Yeah. Maybe with the exception of the Avatar robot at Disneyland, which is also quite creepy. But yeah, bring on the robots. Maybe that's what I'll do after I retire from YouTube. I'll become a roboticist and I'll make the android robots we deserve. Slap an iPad on a Boston Dynamic robot and off we go. Easy, innit? Easy.
Bring on the dancing robots.
We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Hit me. Kamari from Toronto's got in touch. Hello, Chris and Pete. In your 12 things not to do in Japan video, you mentioned bringing business cards everywhere you go. My question for you is this. Do you still do this? Are you handing out nice, clean, crisp, Abroad in Japan business cards to impressed Japanese businessmen to this very day? Love all the content you put out, Kamari from Toronto. Do you still have a wodge of business cards in your pocket? I reckon you left them all at home.
You reckon correctly. Yeah, I am rubbish. I think the reason
cardless.
Is I used to have my... The thing is, with business cards in Japan, typically you have like your mobile number or some sort of point of contact, but I didn't want to put my phone number out there publicly, and I was a bit wary about that. Didn't help that Premier 2 Pete, he flashed my phone number on my business card in one of his first live streams. What a muppet.
Good stuff. Lovely.
So after that, I was like, no more business cards for anyone. But I actually, last week, I was at a party, a little social gathering, rather, and I met like a billionaire, Japanese billionaire, who owns literally every restaurant in the world. He owns like 50 restaurants, one of which turned out was in Gower, the restaurant I like in London.
Nice.
Really nice guy. But I don't know, he gave me his business card and I was like, oh, I don't have one, sorry. And then a few hours later I met the deputy foreign minister for Japan.
Oh,
nice woman. And she gave me a business card and I was like, oh, sorry, I don't have one. And I just felt like such a dickhead. The point in the video I made is it wasn't about bring a business card. The point in that video, 12 Things Not To Do, was when you are handed a business card, treat it with the utmost respect. Mm. Like in the UK, if you chuck someone a business card, it's like, oh yeah, cheers, Dave. And then you just stick it in your pocket and you bend it and, you know, crumple it in, or at least I do.
Yeah.
Whereas in Japan, it's seen as like a physical manifestation of the person, right? It's the kind of like a piece of them. And you don't want to stuff someone's physical manifestation down the back pocket of your jeans.
Don't shove my lung in your pocket, you rotter.
Exactly. You take it with two hands. Always take it with two hands. You study it and you look at it for about 10 minutes. And
lick
it gets a bit monotonous. You lick it, you bite
jam it. Jam
it
in your eye. Yeah. Roll it up, put it in your ear and go, this all sounds in order.
I really want to film like a parody of Japanese etiquette where it's just you.
Yeah,
and you just receive
just absolute lies. Just lies about the whole thing, yeah. It is customary to shout as loud as you like on a train because they like
you
it.
You take the business card with two hands and you burn it. But no, you have like a business card holder, someone who's good shit anyway, and you put it in there or your wallet. Which is what I did. But yeah, no, I really should get some new ones made and I should hand them out next time I meet important people. We got a story here from Nate from Arizona. Hello, Cornwall Chris and PF Flyer Pete. I recently watched your video about how unhealthy the food in Japan truly can be. As you made it so very clear in your video, Japanese food mainly consists of injecting yourself with as much salt as humanly possible. My question is heart disease common among Japanese people due to how much salt they eat, or is it offset by how active they tend to be? Keep up the great work, guys. Nate from Arizona. Well, in that video, I mentioned that the high salt intake, particularly from things like ramen, leads to increased rates of stomach cancer. They believe that's because of all the sodium. You know, every Japanese dish is loaded with sodium. Maybe I was a bit too harsh in my video. I don't like taking too much in my diet, or at least I don't now that I'm trying to be healthy. Yeah. Before I did, fried chicken, innit? But I try and avoid it where possible. And I know it increases blood pressure and heart disease and death. But I do think, as you say, because people here are healthier and the diet overall, in that video, I think I mentioned that Japanese people eat something like 400 calories less per day than the average American, something like that. It was quite a lot. and that compounding effect of eating less calories and walking more on a daily basis keeps people fit, right? And that in turn keeps blood pressure down and heart rate and whatnot, and heart disease away, sorry. So I think that's the main reason. People's diets are overall just a bit more well-rounded, well-balanced and healthier. And that offsets the staggering amount of sodium that people have in Japan. And another reason you do need the high sodium intake here is because the summers are formidably hot and sweaty, and you need to replace that sodium that you're sweating out, right, throughout the summer months. So that's why, historically, sodium is so popular in the diet in Japan.
Is that true? Yeah. Because it's so hot. Yeah. Oh, I had no idea. Yeah. Got to get them salts in, baby!
Eat that salt.
Got a message from Luke from Derbyshire. Hi, Chris and Pete. So I actually have two questions for you, cheekily. I recently had a serious near-death experience, which made me introspective and made me wonder how I'd be remembered after I'm gone. My question is, if you had to write your own epitaph, for example, what would you like it to say? Loving the podcast, and you and Pete, Luke from Derbyshire. That got heavy from salt, didn't it? I got heavy from salt to this. Wow. Hope you're all right now, Luke.
Chris, he loved a bit of salt.
Good to have you with us, Luke from Derbyshire, for crying out loud. Wow.
Yeah, glad you're here, Luke. I don't know, really. I don't really see the point in legacy stuff so much, because, you know, in two generations, three generations' time, nobody's going to care who you are, what you did, which is kind of sad, really. Well, I mean, we'll have Wikipedia, you know. Maybe there'll be someone in the year 2100 and they're like, oh, let's go and look at the genesis of podcasts. And they'll look up the Abroad in Japan podcast and Pete Donaldson, and they'll be like, wow, he's an interesting young man, this Pete Donaldson character. Look, I don't know. It's a weird thing. Honestly, I don't know.
I've never really understood kind of like post-death kind of legacies that anyone's got any interest in. But maybe it's all tied into your belief system. My belief is that when I die, the world dies with me, and it's almost kind of...
Doesn't
really matter what it kind of... You know, what happened before or after, effectively, because you can only experience the world from your own perspective. And as soon as my heart goes, like, you know, my head goes, that's gone, isn't it? So that's why I think it's fascinating for anyone to be that obsessed with their own legacy when they're not going to be around to enjoy it. Just fucking drill, make sure you drill your hard drives, delete your inner history, and just leave a fucking good-looking corpse, baby.
Well, this is what I don't understand about extremely wealthy individuals, right, who hoard more wealth than you could possibly imagine or spend within a single lifetime. And I'm talking like in the tens, hundreds, millions, whatnot. That's money that can make a difference now. And it's just like...
But I guess it's kind of their family. They want to give it to their family, I suppose.
Stuff
they
the family.
Make sure. But maybe that's why these people are high achievers, and I'm talking to you on a Tuesday morning, Chris.
How dare you?
Maybe these men and women are just high achievers because they think about this sort of thing, and they want to, you know, they're constantly striving towards something. I just want a bit of bread. I just want a sandwich. You said earlier that people making you a sandwich. That's a bit much, isn't it? That's like an old sexist trope. You're a disgrace.
That'll be my epitaph. Here lies Chris. He was a sexist monster. He wanted
sexist people monster. To
make... No, I mean, androids can be any gender, don't they? Gender neutral, isn't it? Gender neutral androids.
Fine.
I don't know.
Make your own sandwich.
I'd say stuff the epitaph. Don't think about the epitaph. Just think about what I always say, think about 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road, when you're a bit older and you're like, crap, I'm too old now to do all the cool stuff that I wanted to do, bugger it. And that is more important. That sense of regret in later life, I think, is a far more powerful thing to focus on than your, like, obituary. I don't know. Pete Donaldson's obituary is going to be. He started 400,000 podcasts that will
crafted a homemade
be
gun
his legacy. That'll be your bloody legacy. 400 fucking podcasts.
Just 400 constant podcasts. Podcast speed. It is weird, isn't it? I get off on enjoying people having a good time. So I think I I think it's important to, you know, I spend money like fucking water, and I spend money on people. So I think and that's not me being generous. So like, I fucking love people having a good time, and I like having a good time. And, you know, just do that till you die. That's what I say.
Yeah, that's a good philosophy. I'll take that. Yeah. And credit where it's due to Pete Donaldson. He will buy you a drink if you go to a pub with him. He's one of the.
Buy you a drink.
I could list off on both sides which friends buy me things and which friends don't quite easily. On the one side, we have Pete Donaldson. On the other side, we have Natsuki and Joey. And. Natsuki
again,
used to buy
owners.
Me loads of things. Natsuki was great. Well, the first few years we'd hang out, he'd always buy dinner, he'd buy drinks, because he's like the older one. He's like, I'm the oldest man, I'm the wise man, and he'd buy me dinner. And then as soon as Bro in Japan hit about 100,000 subscribers, he was like, you can pay now. And he's never bought anything ever since.
Well, there you go.
Honestly. Don't get me started on Joey. Nah, Joey's all right.
Right.
But they're not Pete Donaldson, the kindest man you'll ever see, ever.
Again, because I'm oldest man. Because I'm the oldest man.
That's right. Here lies Pete Donaldson. He was generous. He was wise. He started 400 podcasts. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys. Do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here. Do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Suck my podcasts.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.